The Guardian.
Hi, my name is Nick Watt. Joining me from the Guardian room in the House of Commons is Lord Trimble, Northern Ireland's former First Minister, who negotiated the Good Friday Agreement on behalf of the Ulster Unionist Party 10 years ago. David, the Guardian is this week serialising the memoirs of Jonathan Powell, Tony Blair's former Chief of Staff. You worked closely with Jonathan in the run-up to the Good Friday Agreement and afterwards. Can I ask you to assess his contribution?
Well, obviously he made a considerable contribution. He was Tony Blair's right-hand man and put in a tremendous amount of effort in, and of which we, I think, only saw aspects of. If there was any reflection I want to make, perhaps it was a bit unfortunate that both Jonathan and Blair tended to share certain characteristics, a degree of optimism and a belief that their energy could somehow solve all problems with ease. Whereas I think sometimes if there had been close to, as it were, the government policy making, someone looking at things a bit more sceptically, it might not have been a bad idea.
It's interesting you should say that, because in the first day of his serialisation, Jonathan wrote about how Tony Blair tried repeatedly to meet the Army Council of the IRA, and that the reason he did this was that Tony Blair was convinced of his powers of persuasion. Do you think that showed a bit of naivety?
Funny enough, actually, I once, in discussion with Adams and McGuinness, made the same suggestion, but I did it on the basis that if those two couldn't give a clear indication of what was going to happen, then I'd prefer to speak to the people who could. Now, Jonathan refers to the way in which Adams and McGuinness pretended they couldn't take decisions as being a sort of a defensive mechanism that Adams and McGuinness was using. I think for the Prime Minister to think somehow all he had to do was to see them and he could charm them is more than a little optimistic.
Absolutely. Now, in the final part of our serialisation, Jonathan Powell has some quite lively descriptions of the Good Friday Agreement negotiations in 1998. And he talks of the famous side letter that was given to you back in 1998. And just to explain, this was that you felt at the time that the Good Friday Agreement did not go far enough on decommissioning. So you were given this side letter, which was not in the agreement, but was from the British Prime Minister, which said that if a party, i.e. Sinn Féin, did not use its influence to get the IRA to decommission, then they could be excluded from the power-sharing executive. Can you tell us about the drama of that moment?
Well, this arose out of the fact that late on the Friday afternoon we sought a further meeting with the Prime Minister on the matter, and he took the view, not unreasonably, that he couldn't change the text because it had been agreed by all the other parties, and so I suggested that he could, as it were, give something that would be an explanation of the text, which is that side, what is called the side letter. Actually, the side letters being an explanation of the text issued and circulated before the making of the agreement, it becomes, in international law, an authoritative interpretation of the agreement. And from my point of view, in retrospect, what was particularly useful in the letter was the clear statement that decommissioning should begin in the summer as soon as decommissioning schemes are put in place. And if the government had stuck to that in terms of its dealings with Republicans, nearly all the subsequent difficulties in the implementation of the agreement would have been avoided.
But I think that Jonathan talks about sort of quite dramatic moments. I think he had to rush downstairs, try to get the letter to you, but the door was locked and things like that.
Oh, yes. I mean, there was what one commentator on it referred to as a moment of low farce. But it wasn't the only moment of low farce, actually, in the final moments. The scene inside the talks building was getting increasingly congested and at times confused. And yes, Jonathan had a bit of delay getting the letter to us, but it wasn't that long. And a note slipped underneath the door was sufficient to get the letter in.
Now, in his book, Jonathan Powell praises you for your bravery in signing up to the Good Friday Agreement, but he says that you paid a terrible price for signing it. Do you think he and do you think Tony Blair could have done more to save middle ground unionism and therefore you?
If Blair had actually stuck to the terms of the letter that he gave, if he had stuck to the terms of the promise that he famously wrote on a blackboard in Coleraine during the referendum campaign, then all the subsequent difficulties would have been avoided. It's as simple as that.
And just to explain that, that is simply that if Tony Blair had really put pressure on the Republicans to disarm, then it would have all been very different.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one thing that I do disagree with Jonathan is it's clear that he was receiving advice from some elements within the intelligence services, even as late as 2003, that there could have been a return to violence by the IRA. That, in my view, is utter bunkum. I don't think there was the slightest possibility in 1998, and especially after the Omagh bomb, of that happening. Yet the government allowed that to condition its approach. And in fact, that distorted its approach heavily in favour of the Adams McGuinness and against those like us who had made the real effort in the matter. Our information was, and I'm quite sure this is correct, that even from 98 onwards, Adams had full authority from the Republican movement with regard to decommissioning.
It's
and he was capable of moving quite considerably, which he did in the aftermath of the agreement. Remember, the Republicans didn't actually endorse the agreement on 10 April 98, but then moved very quickly thereafter. And he could have moved equally quickly had he been put under pressure with regard to decommissioning.
So it's interesting you're saying that they thought that there was an IRA threat out there, and you don't think, certainly after OMA in August 1998, that there was a provisional IRA threat. They say, Jonathan Powell said, they thought there was a threat, which is why they granted a number of concessions to Sinn Féin. Can I just ask you that in the final extracts of our book, Jonathan Powell says that one of the concessions that they made to the Republican movement, they think went too far, that they didn't need to do, and that was setting up the Bloody Sunday inquiry. And he actually has a private conversation. He relates a private conversation with Martin McGuinness, Sinn Féin's chief negotiator, who said he couldn't understand why Britain had set up the inquiry and that an apology would have done.
Well, I can remember repeatedly urging Blair not to go down the road of setting up that inquiry, and indeed similar inquiries as well. And that was done over a period of time. So I'm astonished that we have that comment from Martin McGuinness. Although I also have to say that with regard to this and indeed to any other thing, that comments coming from the Republican leadership need to be taken with a pinch of salt unless there is other material to stack them, to stand them up.
Do you sense that that's a bit of sort of crowing by Martin McGuinness?
I wouldn't want to put it in those terms, but I think a number of their statements were tactical rather than considered.
And can I just ask you that in addition to being obviously a peer of the realm, you are also a lawyer and a former legal academic. Can I just ask you what, with that hat on, what your thoughts are about that inquiry? It's cost a lot of money and still hasn't reported.
Well, I can understand why, with regard to other inquiries, the government enacted legislation so as to give the government control over the costs of inquiries. I think I don't need to go further than that.
OK. Just one final question. In our final part of the Jonathan Powell serialisation, he has quite a lengthy description of Peter Mandelson's time as Northern Ireland Secretary from October 1999 to January 2001. And he says that he and Blair said to Peter Mandelson, look, your predecessor, Mo Molum, has really fallen out with the unionists. So basically go there and be nice to the unionists. And Jonathan Powell says that he and Blair thought that Peter Mandelson overdid that.
Well, I think that reflects the way in which Powell and Blair were increasingly coming to view the situation from the standpoint of Republicans. Peter did try to correct some very bad mistakes, which had been made. There was, of course, criticism from Republican nationalist quarters, which appear to have influenced the government. And I think the government was wrong to allow itself to be influenced in that way. I think I would disagree with what Powell says. I think Mandelson was trying to correct mistakes that they'd made. And, of course, I can understand that Blair and Powell didn't like someone trying to correct their mistakes.
He writes, Jonathan Powell writes, that Tony Blair thought that Peter Mandelson became pompous and that he got far too in with the Prince Charles Daily Telegraph view. Presuming that's a little unfair, is it?
Yes, and it doesn't quite square with what I heard from Blair at the time of the second Mandelson resignation, which did not, he didn't use language then. So critical of Mandelson.
David Trimble, thank you very much.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's the Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.